I'm David Mitchell, and this is episode 6 of the First Principles podcast from Curtin Christian Union. This series is all about getting to the core of who and what the Christian Union really is. Over the last 5 episodes, we've thought about God's work in Jesus and how we're trying to fulfill the calling to be disciple-making disciples by reaching out, building up, and sending out. Now we're turning our attention to God's unstoppable plan and our very conditional plans. So these are the topics of episodes 6 and 7. In terms of this initial series, this is actually going to be the second last of our episodes, and it's entitled God's Unstoppable Plan. Let's get stuck in. Section 1, the heart of the matter, where we get to the center of our topic and think about what it means. As we think about God's unstoppable plan for us, and indeed the entire world, there's lots of parts of the Bible we could look at. One place that sticks out in my mind is Acts chapter 17, but why it particularly sticks out will be more apparent next episode as we think about the contingency of our own plans. The particular part I want to focus on has Paul in Athens in Acts chapter 17 verses 16 to 34. And this apostle Paul, he's a representative of Jesus in the early Christian community, and he is invited to speak to a group of Greek cultural and philosophical leaders. So these are not at all Christians, but rather people who just want to hear the new ideas that Paul's speaking about Jesus and the resurrection. In fact, Luke, the historian who wrote the book of Acts, says all the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. So perhaps it's not all that different to what uni campuses are like, where students are just looking to explore new ideas. And so Paul is invited to give something like a TED talk on his topic, Jesus and the Resurrection. And he speaks to this group at some points encouraging, but also criticizing the Greek philosophy and religion. On the positive side, he says they've recognized that there is an unknown God. He says they've worked out that humans are from God and in Him they live and move and have their being. But while they recognize that, they catastrophically fail to live out these truths. They worship all sorts of gods. They are the ones that make gods to worship and build temples for their gods to live in. At the climax of his speech to them, Paul says, this is from verse 29, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he would judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Paul offers these people a way out of their ignorance and a way into wisdom and knowledge. He offers them freedom from serving gods who can't speak or act, and he's inviting them instead to worship the God who lives and loves and works. This God has intervened in history through Jesus, the risen judge of all. It's a challenging picture, for it cuts deep into what they would have held dear. They must repent and put aside their rich religious and philosophical traditions. But it also gives them a way to come to God before it's too late. They can put away their ignorance. They can get off the collision course they have with God's justice. As Paul writes in his letter to the church in Corinth, Christ Jesus can become their true wisdom and power, if only they will trust in him. How can they know that this is true? Paul says it's because Jesus has risen from the dead. Now, Luke doesn't record whether Paul explained that at this moment and why it matters so much. Perhaps Paul just left them to ponder it as well, but the rest of Acts fills out the significance of Jesus' resurrection. Back in Acts chapter 2, Peter's sermon tells us how it wasn't an accident or a mistake that Jesus was killed by Jewish and Roman authorities. Rather, it happened according to God's definite plan and foreknowledge. For in this way, Jesus could become the eternal King of God's people, which the Old Testament had promised. Jesus went into death. He completely and actually died so that he could dismantle all of the power of death that we deserve for our sins, that is, our ignorant and willful rejection of the true God. Risen from the dead, Jesus is the one with the power over it. He is the judge of all, the Lord, the Christ. This is how unstoppable the plan of God really is. The most evil thing that humanity could do in putting Jesus to death only serves to fulfill God's plan And that plan will continue until the day when Jesus comes to bring the fullness of God's plan, the judgment of the entire world. At that time, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples will receive its fullest possible answer. The Almighty will be truly known as our Heavenly Father. His name will be honored by all. His kingdom will have finally come in all its fullness. His will be done in every part of this universe. There will be no lack of food. There will be forgiveness and all debts will be cleared. There will be no more giving into temptation to sin. There will be no more evil of any kind. When people talk about wanting to be healthy, they often don't just mean not sick. I mean, sickness is certainly the opposite of being healthy. But to say I want to be healthy would usually mean wanting to be fit and energetic and active to live life. In a similar way, when we think about how Jesus is bringing judgment and justice, we often might think of justice as being just stopping bad things and dealing with those that did wrong. But Jesus is talking about something beyond the cessation of evil. He's talking about the replacement of evil with good. On that day, there will be no more sickness, suffering, or pain. Death itself will work backwards. There will be all of the good things of this world, the friendship and the work and the food, without any of the corruptions that undermine those things. Our world will be the way it was always supposed to be, greater than we ever could have possibly hoped. In the meantime, things may not always turn out as we expect them to. The outcome of God's plan is known to us, but the path, both generally for the world and specifically for me and you, well, God has not chosen to reveal that in his word. But that's okay. I mean, if I can trust an Uber driver knows where I'm going without me having to follow along on the map, then I can trust that God will take me to where I need to go. And if he raised Jesus from death, there is nothing that can happen to me or you along the way that will risk our participation in that final and wonderful day of the Lord. So until that day comes, let's pray, asking for the gracious and generous God to bring on that time. For we live and work in prayerful dependence on God, and we can pray confidently, for there is no doubt, no fear, that his plan will fail. We're now at section two of our podcast, What About This? And today I'm joined by Nathan.
Good morning. Now, listen to the podcast. They're very encouraging. I don't know if you'll talk more about this in the next episode about our plans, but I guess the question is, if God's plan is unstoppable, why do we make plans? What benefit is there in our making plans?
Yeah, this is a big question because it hits on a number of aspects of what we do as a group, like as in we make plans for all sorts of things. You know, we make plans for building people up, we make plans for sending out, we make plans for reaching out, as we've been thinking about over the last few weeks.
No, we make plans in all kinds of areas, don't we? No, that's true.
And I think part of my thought is that that's just the way that God has intended it to be, that we would actually make decisions, we would actually choose what to do, we would seek to do certain things. Whether or not we can do them isn't always down to us. But I think the alternative would be to try and if you like, be the most extreme form of that slogan that people have, let go and let God, in the most extreme possible way. There's times when I think there's a helpfulness to that kind of idea. But if you were to take that to the extreme, then what are you going to do? Just do nothing, make no ambition. We should be ambitious for God's glory, for Jesus to be known, for other people to come into the salvation that we enjoy, I think.
I don't want to be that person on the other side that just wanders aimlessly with no idea, you know, what I'm doing either. I want to have some direction, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's God's intention, is that we will have that, as in we will have a responsibility and we will have a freedom and opportunity to make those kinds of decisions about where we're headed in life. But he is sovereign and in control and stands behind everything. And there's a real comfort in knowing that, because it means that as we use the freedom and the opportunities that God has given to us, then we don't have to fear that we're going to wreck everything, because he's still in control.
Now, that is encouraging, isn't it, to know that we have that freedom. We can make plans, but it's God's plan that is unstoppable. It's God working behind us and through us.
And I think that's another part of the complexity of this question, is that doing wrong things can still play into God's plans. And that's an interesting thing to grapple with. How is it that, like, when we look at the death of Jesus, it's something that people are held accountable for. It was wrong for them to put Jesus to death. And yet it's entirely within God's plan. It's not what the Father wants. He doesn't want to lose his son. And yet it's what the Father wills, because he wants to save people and there's no other way for him to do that. There's a complexity to the way that even God in his own plans doesn't always get what he wants.
I hear you say that. There should be some pushback there. I think, what kind of example would you give of that then?
Well, I think we see it when the Bible tells us that God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. And yet at the same time, we know that that's not going to be the case for everyone. So when God wants all people to be saved, and yet within his plan, within his sovereign will, he doesn't actually get to save all people. He doesn't fulfill that desire. There's a complexity to it, because I don't know how God works that out in his own mind, and he obviously there's nothing that's impossible for him, but weirdly he just doesn't get to have all of the things he wants. And perhaps it's because he wants to give us that freedom that maybe that's part of the limiting thing. I don't know. There's certainly something to that idea.
No, and there is a complexity there that we don't understand, that I don't understand, and I think that's a good thing. You know, I think my mind is unable to comprehend very simple things sometimes. So
we can sort of let go and let God on that.
I suppose.
Yeah, look, Nathan, I think that's a big question. Thanks for coming in and raising it. I think it's something we'd have to actually think more about, more than we can do in this few minutes. So let's keep doing that at another time.
Thank you for that.
We're now at section 3, one student's response, and today we're going to hear from Brendan.
Thinking about God's unstoppable plan today has made me want to reflect on God's sovereignty. In fact, one of the media conferences has been on navigating life. And in discussing God's sovereignty, a number of points were made. The first one was that God has control over all things. Nothing can stop any act or purpose which he intends to bring about, and that he is sovereign over all events and decisions. And so when we apply this to uni, we can be confident in God, and we shouldn't be fearful of our own decision making, but we can rest to know that God's plan is still there in the background, and it won't change because of our own faults or stumblings. The second point kind of relates to what we discussed today in Acts 17 about even Jesus' death and resurrection as being part of God's ultimate plan, and that the cross of Christ demonstrates God's sovereignty over evil in bringing about his good purposes. God hadn't lost control of the situation or anything, but even though we intended Jesus' death for evil, God intended it for good. And so this demonstrates God's sovereignty, his supreme in power and authority, even in something like Christ's death and resurrection. With God, there's no mistakes, there's no accidents, because that's part of his character, he's perfect. And knowing that God's character doesn't change and that he keeps his promises, I know that I can trust in him regardless of the complexity of his plan, and even if I can understand it or not. The final point that was made at MYC was that even though we will suffer in this life, Christians can be confident that God is working all things for their eternal good. And so we can live comforted rather than in fear, knowing that God is in control. And as followers of Jesus, we can join in praying for God's ultimate plan, his unstoppable justice to come about, and for God's will to be done here on earth.
Time for just one sentence to wrap it all up, and then I'll pray. God's plan will certainly come about. He will bring that true and complete justice into our world through the Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. That was episode 6 of the First Principles podcast from Curtin Christian Union, entitled God's Unstoppable Plan. It featured Nathan Randall, who works with our staff team, Brendan Burnside, who's our student president this year, and me, David Mitchell. Our music was provided by Jared Chinnery, another one of our students. Thanks for listening.